February 18th.
Oh, Father, we thank you. I want to thank you, Father, for bringing me back to America safe, my family, Father. I thank you for bringing my brothers here today, Father. I just miss him so much. I'm so thankful that everybody, most everybody, could make it today, Father. This is just such a special couple of hours in a week, Father. That it's just so good. Father, I ask you to bless this meeting like you always have, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Just let your Holy Spirit do his work, Father. And I thank you for my brothers, for keeping them. And I thank you for all your good work, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, right before we turned on the tape, I said, and then we decided to turn the tape on, but I was going to give a little sort of testimony about last Sunday morning. So when I came, I had nothing. You know, I was just, you know. So I thought, well, I'll probably, they'll ask me to pray, I'll pray. And so I was kind of, you know, I was, during the music, I was talking with the Lord and stuff. And so then in the prayer, and I didn't know what I was going to pray, but in the prayer, I said, Lord, you know how we always say, let your Holy Spirit reveal truth? I said, Lord, reveal truth today in this meeting to us, whatever that might be. Let your Spirit work right in this meeting. And I think that's about how it went, right? So then we're going along and we're having different discussions. And it was like we got to the one area, and it was because I read that scripture that said, I can't even remember what that now that you have died, you are freed from sin. Yeah, now that you have died, you're free from sin. I think that was in Romans 6.
Romans 6.
Right?
Yeah, 6:12
yeah.
Or something.
6, yeah, right around that. Let's maybe read that quick. Yeah, it's Romans 6:7. Now, the verses before that kind of build this up to where it comes to this, but for he who has died has been freed from sin. And I said, how can that be? You know, it's like, I don't feel like I've been freed from sin, but I know I did die to myself at one point in the beginning of my whole walk, you know. Well, then there was discussion, and it went along, and people shared, and we kept reading scriptures all around there, you know, different stuff. And it was like right within that meeting, it's like I got a truth for me that helped, you know, take away any condemnation and just gave me more insight to walk in, you know, with the Lord. And I commented that because I recognized it right away about three quarters of the way through the meeting. I said, you know what? This is the answer to part of the prayer in the beginning, you know, that the Spirit would reveal truth. And it did, especially for me. So it was just a neat experience, mm-hmm. You know, it was a good thing. And I went back home, I don't know, later. Maybe it was, well, this is Tuesday. Must have been yesterday. And I read all around Romans in there and stuff again because I really want to grasp that whole concept of dying, death, in baptism, whatever, and into Christ. And it says, yeah, before that, it says in 6, or do you not know that as many, that's 6:3, of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, isn't that wonderful? Even so we also walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So that's, 6:3 all the way through 7. And you have to, I know I have to keep reading that, because I know there's more coming for it.
You got, what we have to realize is that Paul is speaking chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8.
Yeah.
It's in sequence. He's in the same thing. So when he says in chapter 7, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would, he's still considering chapter 6. That's all part of it. And in verse 11 of chapter 6, I picked up this word. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive through Jesus Christ, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ.
Oh, actually, it says in Christ Jesus in the NIV. It says, but alive to God.
That's better.
In Christ Jesus.
But anyway, you know what the word reckon means? Consider yourself. It doesn't even say you are. It says, consider yourself to be dead unto sin through Jesus Christ. It isn't saying that we've made it. It just says, reckon yourselves to be in that condition.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the only way that can happen is by faith.
Real quick, I know what helped set some of me free was, I was sitting there in the service and I was thinking, you know, how is it that 2,000 years later, we kind of know why, but you think about the deception that was going on then, and now it's 2,000 years later, and I was saying, you know, how can we still be so not aware of every, you know, so short on truth in a sense? Well, there's been 2,000 years of the devil just really at work. And all of a sudden, I realize that God knows that. And so I think you've said a lot of times, Pablo, that he knows you. He knows where you're at. He knows and I know that he's going to get us to where he wants us. But it just helped re-establish that again, that, you know, don't look at what you feel like you are now. Because, for one, what it ended up in the end of the meeting is, you have to be somewhat dead to sin because you wouldn't want to keep going on and being what we are after 20-some years. 40 years of being saved, you know, for a lot of us, or whatever. And if you still have a desire to want to be God's son, well, that's the whole key. So you can't always be looking at your present condition. You know, it helped to look back and realize, it was because Keith brought up a heart after David had a heart after God. Well, we do too. And you pointed that out a couple times last Sunday night too, and Sunday morning.
He wouldn't be part of this thing if he didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we are, and why all of a sudden now are we really are concerned about sin? Because we know we're short, but we don't want to be. And so we're probably right where God wants us. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what he's bringing right now is so, to set us free.
So here's what Paul says in the first verse in chapter 7. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God.
Right.
But with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Is that not where we are?
Yeah.
Where did you say that was again?
That's in 7.
Where were you reading from?
Chapter 7, verse 25.
Oh, I thought you said 7, yeah. 1.
Monday, when I was reading, I ended up reading through all of those, like 8, 9, 10. Well, I was going to read all of Romans, and then I got sidetracked by a little side note that I wanted to go read in Hosea. And so, and then time kind of got, I had to be somewhere, but yeah, it's
part of this was, we were reading here in Romans and then reading back in 1 John, and 1 John is like, hey, you've done this, so you sin no more.
Right.
And we're going, that doesn't really seem to reflect my walk too well. So we were like, and I think we were sort of, the enemy has an easy trap of condemnation there. You know, you read something, says, well, have you been baptized? Well, then you don't sin anymore because mm-hmm. you've been baptized. And you go, well, I have been baptized, but I'm still not sin-free. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, so it was kind of like we were seeing how we were falling short of what the Scripture says where we should be, and then how the enemy, you know, can get in there and start to get you down. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of one of those things where it's even more dangerous to a true believer who's got a heart for God, because he's reflecting or she's reflecting on his walk and going, I know I'm not right. I know I'm coming up short. And, you know, these scriptures get pointed out to you and you're failing, you know. Whereas, you know, the lost will go, yeah, whatever. You know, not a care in the world. They're not worried about it at all. So it's one of those things that as you get into the Word, you see this and you go, I'm not living this, and Scripture sort of implies that I should be. But I've been baptized and sin is dead in me. And I'm going, oh, if only that were true. I mean, I don't want sin. And gets back to where Paul says, I've got this war within me. And he's, you know, he's acknowledging the lower nature versus his heart, of what he wants to be versus what he is. And we were kind of, it was kind of good to get.
With my mind, I serve the law of God. With my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Yeah. See, that's what he's saying. Well, you know what? That's humanity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why Jesus came, is to free us from this thing.
And yet, I'm going to say something, and it can be a dangerous area, but so it's almost like, don't spend so much time worrying about what the flesh is doing, because your mind is what's,
right.
And your mind's on the right track in the Spirit. You know, because Paul says, yeah, so my flesh, but the flesh is serving the old, which got cut off with Christ and when I died with him. You know, it's like, that's when the law died. When you were born again and baptized, it killed the law, you know, in a sense, of sin and death, you know?
Yeah, Keith, you know these. But what you're saying reminds me of the setting of Scripture where it says, so, does this mean I can sin? Perish the thought.
Yeah, right.
And that's exactly kind of where you were saying, coming at that and going, it's like, but you're right. You know, the really exciting part about this is you go, okay, the flesh is not perfected, the heart is desirous, and God can get us from here to there.
Well,
but you can't. But you're right. That's, you can't just throw that back. And go, yeah, it'll eventually work itself out, and I'll be fine in the end. No. There's an accountability and there's a requirement there, but there should not be condemnation.
There is so much, that God has said here for us. You know, like that one scripture I quoted to Shelley that day on the phone. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
If your heart does not condemn you, you have great peace with God.
Mm-hmm. So you may not have peace for a while God's getting you through the place of, you know.
Go ahead.
And this whole subject is, it's really not, it's hard to put down in words,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is we have to just take it at face value. It just, it says what it says, what it says. We need to just take it and run with it and believe it.
Yeah.
Because we can't really, it's incomprehensible, really. How can you really say, my heart is there, but my flesh? It's like almost like a get out of jail card.
Right.
But
it is. But it is almost a get out of jail.
It is almost. But it's just true. And it's hard to comprehend. Or impossible. How can it be?
As you said, you have to take it in faith.
Yeah.
That God is bigger than this.
Right.
And if you are sincere in wanting to be here or move here,
mm-hmm.
God will get you there.
Right.
The thing I think where the revelation, and maybe that's too strong a word, is don't let the enemy trip you up by pointing your failures along the way.
Right.
And too many people focus on their failures.
Mm-hmm.
Too many other Christians are quick to point out your shortcomings.
Right.
While you say you were doing this wonderful walk and everybody else is going, hey, I don't know, you guys do this. And you go, God's going to take care of that.
You know, one important thing about sin, another important thing, is like when Jesus, I'm not sure if it's Jesus, but when he speaks about sin in eternal life, he says, your sins, for as powerful as God is, he says, your sins will be remembered no more. And it does not even imply you will stop sinning or you will not ever be a sinner. You will sin to death, basically. But your sins will be remembered no more. You know what I mean?
I was sitting here and I was thinking, yeah, so if I have this area, but if I'm this concerned about it, then I'm not failing. Even though I might still be giving into it, my concern is I don't want to. I'm trying not to. I want to get free from that. You know,
exactly.
And that's exactly when Paul says all that back and forth. That's basically all he's saying.
If you are not deceived that you're okay, but you have truth, that you recognize your sin for what it is, you are on the right path. That's not to say you've overcome.
No.
It just says you're not being deceived. And, I mean, what's our big fear is being deceived by the Antichrist or not having the ability to discern truth from deception. You know, I mean, those are the ones like, you know, I just don't want to not be in tune enough to recognize the enemy when the enemy is trying to deceive or, and when you are saying, I've got this problem, I've got this area, you're not deceived, you know, and now you start asking for the Lord to help.
Yeah.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is his word is not in us. And then it's down in chapter 2. This is 1 John chapter 2. Okay?
Yeah.
I knew it was 1 John.
And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that knows him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, anyway, here somewhere it says, oh, I write these things unto you that you sin not. Okay, so we look at it and we say, we have to get right above sin so that we don't sin. But if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's saying, don't sin. Mm-hmm. You know, walk with God, but don't sin. But if you do, oh, wait a minute, what about the thing that said you don't, you're not supposed to sin? But if you do sin.
Right. You know, okay, Jesus, he came here to save us from our sins, right? So, sins is a big deal. That's why he came here. However, there's a saying in Chile, when you translate it, it's ridiculous, but it's like, when something is not very important, it's like, it's, you say, it's hair from a dog's tail. Like, who cares if the dog loses a few hair from the tail? You know, or like, it's a fish tail. I mean, the fish tails are worthless, but you get, what do you want a fish tail? You know, but it's like, okay, so, yes, don't sin, yes, but, like, we were sharing a few weeks ago about you know, like, sharing and we should preach and all that stuff, but, you know, the very, this was my words exactly, if you will. So the very backbone of the message of Jesus was to love him. Just to love him and to love the Father and love the Son. That is the gospel. That is the very essence of the gospel. And all these subjects important, you know, they're worthy of you know, are it's like the tentacles on an octopus, what I just said, but the head, the important things, the main message, the heart of the gospel, the backbone, is to love them. If you love the Lord with all your heart, and his Son, Jesus Christ, with all your heart, all these things will take care of themselves. They will. You know what I mean? So, yes, we can, let's talk about sins. Let's try not to sin. Let's not sin. We will. But do you still love the Lord with all your heart and his Son? Or at least, is that your goal? Is that your goal? Then that's the gospel. That's it.
I think, well, one of the strongest commandments was, and not to, and obviously I don't want to take away from love, but it says that you believe.
Exactly.
That you believe in God and that you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died and was risen.
Right.
You know, resurrected.
Yes.
And that's like the first, that's one of the strongest commandments is to just believe.
Right. See, so if you believe him, you love him. And if you believe him, you know that everything he said is true. And if you believe him, you know you're a sinner.
Yeah.
But that's not the problem. The sin is not the problem. The problem is not believing that you're a sinner, not believing who he
is. Right.
That is the strength of the gospel. You know.
And if you believe him, then you'll want to know what he meant by what he said.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make light out of sin or nothing like that.
No. No.
But,
I don't think any of us are here.
No.
It's just that, in fact. You know, a lot of us at different times, we actually get heavy laden because of it, because partly we're letting the enemy do a work there with condemnation, you know. But then it's funny, though, every time it seems like that happens to one of us, we get on this, and then we come to the fact that you're not condemned. And I think I'm always get set free then from condemnation. And I know others have. I think you have, you know, in different meetings where you might have been being hit with that.
Mm-hmm.
I've come out of it, you know, with some victory, you know,
mm-hmm.
because of our sharing the word,
mm-hmm.
truth of the word. You know, I mean, it's.
You know, I thank God for giving us the truth of David, the rundown of Elijah and David and.
Oh, yeah, it showed that. And what does it say?
A man of like passions.
Yeah, a man of like passions. That's what we are.
We're like Elijah. And which brings me to a real, something that happened the other night, a couple nights ago. I started getting a picture of the Spirit, you know, and I was telling Corky, you know, we don't realize it, but there are a lot of different kinds of spirits. Mm-hmm. And Elijah is going to come, as it says in Malachi, he's going to show up before the great and terrible day of the Lord, which it don't seem great and terrible to us, but that's what it says, that he's going to show up. And so they asked John the Baptist, they said, are you that prophet? And he says, no. But Jesus said he was. Was he or was he? If Jesus said he was he?
Yeah, I'd say.
But you know what? He wasn't Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
He had the spirit of Elijah.
Right.
So he looks at it and he said, no, I'm not that prophet. I don't even know if he knew what they were talking about. You know, but he was the same. So what you do is you look at John from what we know, a little bit we know. And then you look at Elijah. And I'm thinking, they're kind of two chips off the same block.
Mm-hmm.
Their lifestyle and what they said and the way they did things and so forth. Elijah didn't pull punches, neither did John. You know, he told Herod, he says, you can't have your brother Philip's wife. Well, you know what? Jesus never said anything about it. Because under the new covenant, that wasn't really the issue. The issue was something else. Under the law, that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to get personal here. When we lost Brian, Joanne had a dream. And in the dream, Brian came back. And did you ever hear her tell about that?
I don't know if I did.
He came back. She had one or two dreams. And Brian did come back. He showed up at the presence of my son-in-law. And I've looked at that. I've told Pablo this a number of times. I said, the same spirit that was in Brian is in Pablo. It could be the same person. Because what Pablo is what the spirit that was in Brian. You know what I'm saying? And so we look at it and we say, well, that person has a bitter spirit or whatever else. And you know what? As we are, or as the spirit is, or as something is, the spirit becomes what we are. Or we become what the spirit is.
Yeah, we become what the spirit is.
Or something. I don't know, something happens. But anyway, and there are people that are, all their life, they're bitter. And we'd say, they got a bitter spirit. And I remember Adina Tanberg, John's wife, used to, she was great at judging, you know. Boy, that person sure has a, whatever it is. Yeah. I think she's gone.
You know, if sin comes, is strong enough, that it's going to keep us from eating God's word and having a loving God, that might be a point of concern. Otherwise, I don't know.
We are right now, we are overcoming sin. We don't know we are, but we are. I'm experiencing something, and I tell you about it, and it is really the truth. And the Bible says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so every so often, I guess some weird thoughts come, and I can kick them away. Otherwise, if we couldn't, if it's not possible, he wouldn't tell us that we could.
You know, it's funny, after Sunday, and then Monday I was reading it and all of this again in Romans, And I think it was the Monday night, maybe, in sleep. All of a sudden, I could tell the devil just was going to try to get me on, you know, some thoughts and whatnot. And I was starting to entertain, and I went, no, wait a minute.
Okay, that's where I'm at.
I'm done. No, I'm not going along there. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to keep these thoughts, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Bring every thought into captivity to the emperor.
Yeah.
And after a while, I think that's what we can do.
Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to get even with you for, because you think you got a revelation or something, you know.
Well, explain to me a little bit how you did that.
I don't know. It was like I started having some thoughts that...
Either way, how did you...
Oh, I went, you know, I think it's because the work's being done. I just went, no, I don't want to entertain them thoughts.
Okay. You know what? I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid stuff. I'm like,
yeah, so I mean, it pops in. It's like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, it didn't come from God.
No.
Yeah, I haven't thought these things for a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
The Lord rebuked it. And
you get the discernment from the Spirit that you're on a path that you know is not edifying.
Yeah.
And God's cleaning this up.
He's
cleaning this up.
And you know you're going to be tested.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like...
I think the Spirit threw that little thing in there. It was like he's trying to bring you down because you got up. You know, you got up. You got raised up, you got edified, or whatever, and that just, that wasn't my thought then, that had to come from the Spirit, and so then it was like, yes, and I don't want these thoughts, you know.
There's a scripture that says, and he is of an excellent spirit. Where is that? Is that Old Testament or New?
I'm looking.
Mm-hmm. I don't have my phone or nothing to look nothing up.
He's of an excellent spirit.
I think it might be said a little different in... there's somewhere where it said something of a... Yeah, it doesn't say of a Holy Spirit or anything like that. It says it like it doesn't. It's not perfect spirit.
No, but it's a
yeah.
He was a righteous spirit or an excellent spirit.
Well, Daniel 5:12, because of an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams. King named.
Okay, what was it, Daniel? What
Daniel 5:12.
What is the word? Is it excellent?
Excellent spirit. At least that's in when the search came up that way. I don't know.
Excuse me. Yeah? Well, you know these are big verses in Daniel here, wouldn't you? When it's 2:24 beginning one page and 2:49 on the end of the next page. That's only 20 verses. Daniel 5, what?
12. Mine says, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel. And the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called that he will give the interpretation.
Oh, see, what does that mean? As an excellent spirit.
Well, go back to 11. It's like this guy is telling the king, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers.
I don't know
so if for as much as an excellent spirit. And showing of hard dreams, and showing and dissolving of doubts. Dissolving of doubts. Or from the same day.
Now, isn't that amazing that there's a king saying to Daniel, because the king now has met him in 14, I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you. Was he a follower of God? You know? Isn't it interesting that he would say
but
that?
You know what? This is what was the queen? What was her name? The queen that was risking her life at this point. What was her name?
The queen? In
there? Yeah. I remember the story here. What was her name?
The queen, the king, Nebuchadnezzar? Is that that's who you're wondering about?
But she was a friend of Daniel's. This was right after in here where the figures wrote on the wall.
I just read something interesting. What brought this on, was while they had brought the vessels from Jerusalem, then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. That's a pretty drastic change, wham. And then the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans.
I tried to think of what this woman's name was, but she was a queen. We know her name.
Oh, the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom. But it doesn't give her name right there. Maybe it does earlier.
No, yeah, we know. Once we see it here, we know who she was. I was thinking about these fingers writing on the wall, and I had an awful feeling one day or a month ago or so. I thought, what's going to happen here? A figure is going to write on the wall and where all these Democrats are gathered together. Or maybe it did.
I don't know. I don't know where it gives the name of the queen.
No, we know who she was.
We do?
Yeah, you do too.
And then it's after he starts interpreting the dream.
Yeah, she risked her life here in doing so.
maybe it's when that one guy starts was accusing Daniel and the other three falsely so that he'd get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, she was one of them.
And she said, you better not do that or something.
And that's right in here. That's in this, in the sixth chapter. And they put him in the lion's den, and the king didn't want it to happen himself, because he loved Daniel. And it says, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went out from him. He couldn't even sleep all night because he was David and who was it? Abednego. Who was the three men that were in there?
Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Oh yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king, he was deceived by some of his people that hated Daniel.
Yeah.
So they put him in the lion's den. And then, you know what it says in here? When they looked at the somewhere. It says he saw somebody in there like the Son of God.
Well, that's in the furnace.
Well, that's what we're talking about right here.
Well, no, this is when he gets thrown in the lion's den.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's where he saw the one like the Son of God.
That's pretty cool. He keeps saying, I know the God that you serve will save you. Because he knew he had to put him in the den because of the law that had been decreed.
Yeah, they deceived the king.
King, when he came to the den, he cried out with a laminating voice to Daniel.
Lamenting,
sorry, thank you. I was talking about laminations. And the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and so no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God.
And then you see what it says in verse 24?
Yeah, they threw the three men who had accused Daniel.
And the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all of their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den.
Before they ever came to the bottom of the den, yeah. Well, we sure went off on a tangent there, didn't we?
I think in the world we call that a deep dive.
It's. I love reading Daniel though, because
he talk about a heart for God, after God.
Well, and that's the thing. I saw that one day, and it's like it gave me a great peace. I thought I've done dumb things, and so we all have. You know, we've done stupid things and sinful things. And ungodly things, and yet, I've never been able to compare to David in being bad. Paul was killing the Christians, and you know, Paul said that Jesus Christ came to save the sinner, of whom I am chief. You know. And I've thought, sometimes I want to argue with him and telling him, no, I think I'm worse. But these things, and I've often wondered, why did God give us the story of David and some of these things, you know? And I realize that's for our sake. Because we realize that God is not looking at our mistakes. He's looking at our repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could say there's quite a reoccurring theme of God showing blessing to those who overcame their sins through faith, because most all of the major characters in the Bible, they had a problem there, they had an area of sin, or however you want to describe it, yet God still used them and did great things, and they were blessed.
You know, there's a scripture that really fits in right here. God is not willing that any should perish.
I was going to read that.
But that all men should come to repentance. Repentance is the key. David was caught right in them after he had Uriah killed and ran off with Bathsheba and whatever else. And then Nathan the prophet showed up and gave him this parable. And, you know, and anyway, and in the parable, he was given the story. He actually was talking about David. And finally, he said, he told him the story, and David said, well, that man ought to be killed. And Nathan said, David, that man is you. I'm talking about you. And David was caught in his sin. And so what does he do? What would David do? And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. David always repented.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man after God's heart. He wasn't perfect. He did some stupid things. But he was always right there to repent. And I can't say that I've always been right there to repent, but I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
My will to his will.
Huh?
Let my will become his will.
Yeah.
So that we may be righteous in his eyes.
But I got a different picture one day. I thought, we're going to make it, but not because of our goodness, because of the mercy of God, the righteousness of God, and the forgiveness of God. And the mediator, the word that I just saw here?
He is a
propitiation.
Propitiation. I can't speak tonight.
Propitiation. I'm not even sure what that means.
He said we're gonna make it. Reminded of that song we used to sing. We're gonna make it. Gonna make it. You watch. And I couldn't. And I got lost trying to remember the rest of the verse.
Yes, we're gonna make it. that very first part of what you said. What did you say? There's no way we can make it. Is that what you said when you opened that little statement?
I don't know.
That's the whole key right there.
No, we can't make it by anything goodness on our part.
Yeah, so that's why you can't get condemned by certain things, as long as you know that you need him and you're willing to repent, you know.
What's going to happen to us? We're going to be willing to repent at any moment.
Yeah, and I think in God's eyes, that's when you're being perfect. You know?
Yeah.
If you're doing exactly what he gave you the you know, the supplicate, or what the word is, what he gave you to become, the tool, and you're using it, then you're in his will, for one, and you're perfect. You know? Because you're doing the perfect plan he had for you. The perfect plan is forgiveness, repentance, and forgiveness.
You can't move forward without repentance.
No.
I was going to, probably, I was reading this Sunday, because it caught me, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. And we never read that part.
No.
We just read the first half of it.
Yeah.
You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believeth in the Son should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
If God is a God of love, why should there be any reason for perishing?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking there's a fairly popular sports figure that has kind of denounced Christianity because he made the comment that how could you believe in Christianity if the power just wants to wipe everybody out? And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, that is such a poor summation of what Christianity is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly opposite of what God wants.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say that, guy. God loved so much that he's allowing you to think that way, where he could have made you a puppet. But if you don't want to think like he thinks, he also said there's conditions.
Well,
you know,
what people don't realize, and they don't even consider, is that this whole thing is God's thing.
Yeah.
Everything is him. He made it all. The things that we do in life are God's design.
Mm-hmm. See, and man can't, humanity cannot not think that he can figure stuff out and that he doesn't have to be under somebody.
Accountable.
Yeah, or accountable. You know, it's like they know if I admit there's a God, then I got to start listening to him, and I don't want to listen. I'm going to listen to myself.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's what it is. I know, because I've been there.
Yep.
You know, I've thought that way.
Me too.
You know, I didn't want to be accountable, you know, and I just want to do what I think's best. And we're so smart nowadays that, you know, we should, that's the thing. If you're so smart nowadays, how come you haven't figured everything out then, you know? In fact, you're digressing in a lot of areas.
You know, another way of saying that is, you can't judge me because you're not walking in my shoes.
Yeah.
That's exactly that concept.
Yeah.
The names will be protected.
That's where I told my mama the debate when I was there. We were talking about some. And she's like, well, you know, I think this. I'm going, mama said, what you think has zero to do with what God
planned,
truth, or whatever. Think whatever you want, but if it's the Bible, the God's word says one thing, and if you think anything else, is it got zero to do with nothing.
That's good.
Yeah, people don't want to hear that.
No.
You can think anything you want, but if what you think doesn't agree with
that's
what
right.
The Bible says,
yeah,
you're wrong.
You're right.
You know what? Until God really cleared that up for us, we didn't really
want
to know.
Oh, yeah, right. Either. That's the whole point.
A lot of times you'll get into a conversation, a spiritual conversation with anyone. First thing, well, you know, I think God, blah, 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 blah. But it's not, if you start what I think, you can say, well, God says. You know what I mean? The word says, Tell me about God, what God says. This is what he says. This is what the word says. But I think, oh my gosh.
But you know, until God opens your heart,
right,
you're not still not going to see what God says, you know.
Right, well, right.
I mean, that's the crazy part about it.
Even worse, you have a level of revelation, and you said this is what God says. But it's not the whole thing.
No,
so
right.
So you can even have that. So God says, and then you get, well, I think God says this, not that. And that was a really good problem. If someone starts out with, well, I think. Well, I can tell you what God thinks and what you think.
Yeah, we mentioned that a little bit Sunday. Yeah. But there's a place where, and we said, you know, you start to say, well, I was thinking, well, you can be having thoughts that are given to you by the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, so it's kind of a tricky deal because, and I said, and we've got accustomed to knowing generally, even if somebody slips and says, well, I think, or I've been thinking, we realize, well, you've been meditating.
Right. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
I know, I'm just saying like the how they base who God is,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Well, you know, I think God is this and that, and I think that you will go to heaven, blah, blah, blah. Like that. Not when you're meditating or thinking about things that the Holy Spirit is bringing you.
I'm beginning to, now you don't want to ponder these situations in your head in case it happens, because then you're pre-planning, but it's like, you know, it comes down to, well, do you want to know what God really thinks, says? Then he says, you got to humble yourself, become as a little child, and have him teach you. Are you willing to do that? Well, then, if you're not, then there's no discussion.
Right.
You know, because you're not willing.
Every church organization believes in the Bible.
Yeah.
And yet we have hundreds and hundreds of different theologies.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason why I started talking to my mom about this, because, you know, we were watching TV a little bit, and then they were showing this father that they were making him a saint. A dead father. His name was Father Pio. And, you know, one of the reasons that we're making him a saint, because his body was encapsulated on something or another, and it hasn't rot, you know what I mean, in all these years, so I don't know, weeks or whatever it is. So I was so impressive. And then, because, you know, they would pray to this father, and the miracles that were confirmed, miracles, and blah, 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 blah. And we were not really watching this. We were just going through channels, and I thought I saw that, and I said, Mom, leave it there. And I told my mom, yeah, this is miracles, and blah, 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 blah. And I read her that scripture about that God will send strong delusions if you decide not to believe the truth. You know, yeah, so you can have miracles, whatever, but it's not the true. So we talked about it a little bit. I don't know. I think my mom needs more of the Holy Spirit to enlighten her a bit. No, on the other hand, I was talking to my aunt. I'm not sure why we started talking. I was sitting outside and she was sitting there, whatever. My aunt was out for a while with us. And for whatever reason, we started talking about the things of God or whatever. So I played this song for her. And she was asking me questions and whatever. And so all of a sudden, when I said, baby, and I said to Candy, why don't you play this song? And really good song, that I really like. I should show you guys that song eventually. Maybe you guys don't know it. And I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit for sure. all of a sudden we played that song, and my aunt wanted to know the words of it. It was in English, and the presence of the spirit was so strong, I could not speak. I could not translate the words of the song. It took me like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes to say anything. You know what I mean? And so, and I was so pleased, because when you can't speak, you know that the Holy Spirit is doing greater things than
could come out of your mouth. Wonderful, wonderful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know that you're,
yeah,
there's nothing you could say greater than what the Holy Spirit is saying or doing.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me before, when I couldn't speak. Because you can't speak. And I could, my aunt, I mean, I couldn't speak. Kelly couldn't speak. Nobody could say anything. And my aunt, she had her eyes closed. She had, this is a song in English. She knows nothing in English. And she had tears in her eyes. She had her eyes closed, her head down. And there's this song playing in English. And it was good. It was good. Yeah. And then, you know, a few days later, we were walking someplace. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, she's like, my back. She goes, oh. And, you know, she's heavy and she's old. You know, she's not old, but she's 65-ish.
Careful.
Right. Well, she's not my age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And